Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me.
So let me ask you, do you ever feel like your life is a little bit out of control? I think as a culture that most of us would say yes. Whether we're doctors or lawyers or ministers or whatever, most of us work a lot. Some may even say too much. Think about it. School teachers can't leave any child behind. Truckers have logbooks that must be maintained. Nobody has time anymore for a 3-martini lunch. There's no time left to sleep on the job. We're just too busy. It seems that everyone is working harder and harder. Even those who are retired will tell me, I don't know how I ever did it when I had a full-time job. I'm more busy now than when I was working 60 hours a week. And I think part of it, too, is that we don't just do one thing at a time anymore. We multitask from the morning we get up until the time in which we go to bed. In the morning, we drink coffee while we drive to work and talk on the phone, and some of you put on your makeup while you're driving. I've seen that recently. And then in the evening, we watch the news while we make dinner and catch up on all the emails that we didn't get to during the day. In the last 20 years, research shows, the amount of time that we spend working is up 15%, while the amount of time that we spend in leisure is down 30%. And some would argue that things are getting worse. Did you know that when I was in seminary 25 years ago, we used to talk about how with the rise of technology, things like the fax machine, remember those? The fax machine and this new thing called email that was going to revolutionize everything. And then they had these car phones. They were about the size of a cinder block that sat on your front seat next to you. It cost about $12 a minute to make a phone call. But all of these things, these newfangled technology, was going to increase the amount of free time that we had. We were going to have so much more time on our hands, and the questions that we used to talk about in seminary, led by our professors, was how was the church going to deal with and help people deal with the amazing void that they had with all of the excess of free time that people were going to have in their lives. We used to think that come around 2020 or so, we were going to only have to work probably 3, maybe 4 days a week. We're going to have a couple of months of vacation every year. Now, obviously, that hasn't quite worked out that way. Even with computers and time-saving gadgets, the promise of too much time on our hand hasn't exactly materialized. In fact, many of us seem busier than ever. In fact, the most common complaint that I hear is that there just isn't enough hours in the day. If we have learned anything, it's this, that one more piece of technology will bring neither more time nor more happiness. 25 years ago, when I was in seminary, the average church member would attend worship 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. That was the average. Statistics now say that the average worshiper attends church 1.43 Sundays a month. Less than 2 Sundays a month And some would argue that part of the reason of the decline in the church, the main reason, is that we're busier than ever. We work more, we play less, and we worship even less than that. We're working more and worshiping less, and the truth is we're sleeping less too. In fact, did you know that most of us get somewhere between 60 and 90 minutes less sleep each night than we should for our own health and well-being? 60 to 90 minutes. And so I'm glad to see that some of you this morning are catching up on your sleep now and multitasking as we preach. After the 9 o'clock service, somebody came up to me and said that she had been listening to a podcast recently that talked about autoimmune disease. And one of the leading causes, this person suspected, was deeply connected to the lack of sleep and rest, causing people to be sick. This is not a completely new phenomenon, as you can imagine. There are all sorts of research that suggests that with the invention of electricity, people started sleeping less, because no longer were we restricted by the rhythms of the day and the rhythms of the night, or even the rhythms of the seasons. In fact, I heard on the radio a while back the results of a survey that was done, and they asked a whole group of people, what would you do if you had one more hour each day? The number one answer? Sleep. We'd rather sleep more than anything, above spending time with family, above getting exercise, above working more. Not one person in that survey said they wanted to go to church more with 1 hour extra a day. I was a little offended by that, but I'm getting over it. All that to say, I'm not going to stand before you this morning and point my finger and say, y'all are working too much. Because the truth is that clergy are not immune from this. In fact, one study that I recently came across, published in an article entitled Death by Ministry, is that 70% of clergy work more than 60 hours a week. And 85% of us were home two or fewer evenings a week. 80% of pastors say that they have insufficient time with their spouse and family, and that ministry has a negative impact on our family. So please know that I have no room to point fingers or to chastise. All that to say, despite the addition and the increase of more in our lives, things like robotic vacuums and electric clothes dryers and 3-minute eggs that can be cooked in 30 seconds, despite the addition of all of this, there seems to be something missing. This technology that we thought would free us has in many ways enslaved us. These devices that we thought would allow us this great freedom has actually increased the amount of work that we do by keeping us constantly in contact with work and the world. Some of you may remember, it wasn't all that long ago, that almost everything in our society would stop one day a week. The gas stations, the banks, the grocery stores, they all locked their doors at night and on Sundays. But not anymore. We are no longer a society that goes to sleep at night and conducts business only 6 days a week. Now we go 24 hours, 7 days a week. And in that change to a 24/7 world, something has gone missing. And what's been taken away is rest. You see, Sunday was the day when libraries and stores closed their doors, when people got dressed up and went to church. And even those without a particular religious conviction, they just simply took the day off. Subtracting a day of rest each week has a profound impact on our lives. I already mentioned our health, but how could it not? One day a week, it adds up. In fact, 52 times a year times an average lifespan is equal to about 11 years. Now you take away 11 years of anything in a lifetime, and there will be change. That's the law of the universe. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And so if you subtract a decade of sleep or work or education, any of those things, and the entire character of one's existence is altered. Multiply 11 years times an entire population, and the entire culture is changed and impacted. So it's important for us to pause from time to time to remember that the practice of stopping one day a week, of only going 24/6 instead of 24/7, this is not new for humanity. In fact, some would say it's as old as time itself. In Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, we find a seven-day week. Now, you know the story. You've heard the poem before. On Monday, God cooks up a universe with a few simple ingredients like gravity and electromagnetism. By midweek, there was dry land and seas, and God looked around and said, "This is good." And on Friday, after a cup of coffee, God stocks the lakes and fills the earth with birds and fish. And what's interesting, if you look at that creation poem, each day things get a little more complicated. And then on the sixth day, God forms Adam and Eve. And things get really complicated at that point. Interesting that up to this point, everything has been created out of nothing. But on the morning of the seventh day, God makes nothing out of something. And in that moment, Sabbath rest is brought into being. The inventor of everything takes a rest and enjoys everything that's been created. Scholars and theologians believe that this is an incredibly important, in part because it reveals something about the nature and the character of God. That on the seventh day, God stopped. Now, I would argue that stopping is a problem for us human folk. We get a comfortable house and we want a bigger one. We get plenty to eat and yet we still want a little bit more. God doesn't need to rest after creating the universe because God is tired. God rests because God is holy. And everything that God does is holy. And here in the story, God rests. And if God is holy and God rests, then rest, ergo, is holy. It's just simple math. The word Sabbath means literally cease from working. And it is a concept that is as old as time. It's a concept that is holy and sacred. To work and to stop from working. It's interesting to me, too, though, that Sabbath doesn't show up again after Genesis 2 until Exodus 16. Because when Exodus opens, four centuries have passed without a sign from God. The Hebrew people have gone from being honored guests in Egypt to slaves building warehouses for Pharaoh. And as slaves, they worked 7 days a week. And they were making bricks. They had quotas of bricks. Everything in their lives was about bricks. It was bricks, bricks, bricks. That's what life entailed all day, every day, bricks. You see, in Egypt, your value, your worth, your survival was dependent upon your quota of bricks. But then God rescues these people, draws them up out of Egypt, and now here in the Ten Commandments, God is teaching them, maybe you could say God is reminding them, what it means to be a human being, not a human doing. God is teaching them what it means to be human and reminding them that you are not a machine. You see, in Egypt, their value, their worth came from what they produced. And here God is teaching them and reminding them and telling them and showing them that your value, your worth does not come from bricks. Your value, your worth comes from being rescued and redeemed as a child of God by by the one true God. And so what does God say? You are to work 6 days and then take a day when you do no work. Just rest. Just remember. Just reflect. Play. Do whatever it is that feeds your soul. Take one day a week to remind yourself that you are not a machine. Now, church, I'm fairly certain that we can't turn back the hands of time. And our 24/7 world is not going to change. In fact, chances are fairly good that life is only going to get more intense. There will be new communication tools and new technology, and human engineering will enable us to increase the number of tasks that we can do simultaneously. In fact, we may even look back with nostalgia to these days of this 24/7 world once those advances make a 48/7 world realistic. And so, if we want to have a weekly day of rest, it will need to be a result of a conscious choice, an intentional action. And notice in the text it says that it begins by remembering. To remember, as the fourth commandment tells us, remember the why and the how of a day of rest. But I wonder, though, about the irony of the 21st century, that in many ways the secular world is better about keeping the intention of the fourth commandment than the church is. For example, even the most widely published atheist professor still insists on his or her sabbatical. Judges who enforce the separation of church and state, they don't hold court on Sunday. The Wall Street measures 24/7 profits, but they don't trade on the weekends. And maybe that's why, starting about 6 years ago, this congregation made a bold decision to take a month during the summer just to rest, to renew our spirits by intentionally programming Sabbath time for the month of July. But also to model for the congregation in the seventh month what God modeled for us on the seventh day. And so my prayer for you this summer, during this month of July, this month of Sabbath rest, is that you will find time to slow down, to rest. Because in the midst of creation, there is so much to do, there is so much to accomplish, there is so much to build, so much to create. There are so many emails to respond to and bills to pay and calls to return. There is so much to manage, to order, to do. And so it's important for us to be careful that in the midst of all of this, we don't become so consumed that we lose something, and that we find ourselves enslaved again, back in another sort of Egypt, making bricks, bricks, more bricks. And so may we not become a machine that is so caught up in doing that we miss the joy and the wonder and the awe of being a human in the midst of this world that God has created. And remember, as Moses said, that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and therefore remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And so what would it look like for you and your family to remember? To remember who and whose you are. To honor God's creativity and to imitate God's rest. To create, but then take time to enjoy what you have created, and to do things that feed your soul. That is my prayer for us as a community of faith. That is my prayer for you as a person of faith. Amen.
So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are or where you come from or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.